Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Now, as I said earlier, counting from the Declaration of Independence, yesterday I believe we were 233 years old as a nation. And you know, that is not very old for a nation. And yet we are unique among nations because of the way and the principles upon which we are founded. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, and that among these are life and liberty and the pursuit of happiness. That is how we began, and that is how the Declaration of Independence begins. Liberty, or freedom, is not mentioned very much anymore. We are jumping from crisis to crisis to crisis, and you just do not hear the word freedom very much anymore. And that concerns me, because freedom does tend to get gobbled up in a crisis, and we have had one after another. Right now, we are weary of bad news, and I think most of us are waiting, simply waiting for things to get back to normal. And I am not sure that we can get back to normal. As far as the economy and money and stuff, we just may have to do with less. But less money and less stuff does not necessarily mean less freedom and less happiness. I read about an encounter that contemporary Christian singer Scott Wesley Brown had years ago in the old Soviet Union. He was singing in a little bitty poor church, concrete floor, not any decorations at all. And he said after he sang, an older lady from the congregation came up to him and thanked him. And after she found out that he was from the United States, she said, through the translator, "It must be hard to be a Christian there." And then she walked away. Brown really didn't understand what she meant. On the way home, his interpreter explained what the woman meant. Through the interpreter, she said, "She knows that in the United States you are blessed with wealth, you have fast food restaurants and stylish clothing and luxurious cars and homes and so many things. But here, all the people have is their faith in Jesus. She knows that it is harder for people who have it easy to put their faith in God. They tend to put faith in things. And that is why she believes it must be hard to be a Christian in the U.S. I think it's getting easier. Apparently, from reading the gospel today, Jesus thought it was perfectly possible to pursue happiness of serving God and being a disciple with no stuff at all. Did you notice that? I hope that's not what Jesus wants from me, quite honestly, but let's take a look at the way that Jesus sent out some of his first disciples. First of all, he sent them out in pairs, two by two, so that one could look out for the other, and one could feel supported by the other, and one could hold the other accountable to what their mission, their purpose was. Jesus sent them out with nothing. No money, no stuff, no backpack, and nothing to put in it. It kind of makes me feel like a whiner when I say my retirement plan has lost 25% of its value. These disciples might say to me, "Retirement plan? What do you mean, retirement plan? We didn't have a backpack or a water bottle or a single penny when we went out. What are you complaining about?" Jesus did not even allow them, if you read it carefully, to take an extra set or a change of clothes. Just one tunic. We saw some people last week in the Salkahatchee program who did have certain needs, they did, but we never saw the sort of poverty that Jesus imposed upon his first disciples. He sent them out with nothing. Nothing. Nothing but the gospel message that sin and death were being overcome by the kingdom of God. And His Son, the Savior, Jesus Christ, through Him was coming new life. And forgiveness was coming. And eternal security was coming. And real freedom to know and serve God was coming. And it had nothing to do with money or wealth or savings or clothes or stuff. Repent and believe. Repent, turn to God, and believe was their message. But you know, decades of prosperity preachers on TV and radio have filtered into our brain, whether we know it or not, and they have made this part of the gospel a little bit jarring, even shocking to hear. Without saying so, we tend to think that money is a blessing and poverty just might be a curse. Without saying so, without ever verbalizing it, the word blessing is often, not always, but often, by blessing, we mean money and stuff. Jesus, who is the Word of God made flesh, Jesus, who is the truth and life of God made flesh, Jesus, who has the words of life that make us free, sent His disciples out preaching without a dime, without a change of clothes, with only faith and a message that the kingdom of God was coming. Real freedom was what they preached. Complete and utter poverty was the way that Jesus sent them out. And you know, this is an uncomfortable thing for me to notice about Jesus. Why would He send His disciples out this way, completely dependent upon whatever people might give them along the way or whatever they might find along the road to eat or to drink? Jesus made them poor and dependent, apparently, in order to set them free to serve. And that is tough. That's a lesson that most of us would rather not learn. All I can think about is the blessing that Jesus gave upon the poor in Beatitudes in the Gospel of Luke. He said, and He lifted up His eyes on His disciples, and He said, blessed are you poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. And you remember the rich young ruler whom Jesus told to sell all that he had and give it to the poor and then come follow me? And the way Jesus lifted up that widow with the widow's mite when she gave all that she had, even though it was just a couple of pennies, the widow gave all she had and she had left only her trust in God to make it through the next day. I don't know. But this Bible of ours paints an uncomfortable picture of faith and trust and freedom to serve God better when our resources and our money and our stuff run out. I'm not sure I want to notice that, but it's in there. It reminds me of what the former slave Harriet Tubman said. She once said, I freed thousands of slaves, and I could have freed thousands more if they had only known that they were slaves. In the current economic uncertainty, we may paradoxically be freed from the illusion that money can save us. It may wake us up from what we tried to do, and that is be dependent upon wealth, and send us back to where we should be, our dependence upon God as a firm foundation. In the book Resident Aliens, Will Willimon called the American understanding of freedom, he said it was the tyranny of our own desires. We can quickly get addicted to wanting and getting and wanting and getting, but surely there is more to freedom than that. Generations have not fought for just wanting and getting. As I've said, I don't like today's scripture any better than you like hearing it, but over and over, wealth seems to get in the way of true freedom, and poverty and dependence upon God seems to make for a people who are more able to serve God instead of just building bigger barns to hold our stuff. And that is a part of giving to the church as an act of faith that we often miss. Giving is not to pay bills. It's not to make budget. Giving is showing I am not dependent upon my wealth to be happy or secure. And I will give more than I can afford. I will give first fruits and then some. I will give until it hurts and then some. I will give as an act of faith to prove that I know that my life does not consist of the abundance of things. You remember when Jesus said to the man who wanted him to settle an inheritance dispute, Jesus said, take heed and beware all covetousness, because a man's life does not consist, Jesus said, a man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. But you know, maybe without saying so, we get that confused. We sometimes do rank a man's life or a woman's life by the abundance of possessions. But by our faith, we know that our lives are more than just stuff. I can prove that I am free from the love of money by giving away beyond the point where it hurts. Freedom. It's a funny thing. Years ago, Kris Kristofferson wrote the old song, I'm Showing My Age. Mary Lynn will remember it. The Janis Joplin made very famous Me and Bobby McGee. She said freedom was just another word she sang for nothing left to lose. And I don't know if that's, you know, absolutely free, absolutely a true statement, that freedom's just another word for nothing left to lose. But it does seem to resonate with the way Jesus sent out his disciples, free from any earthly attachment or status or wealth, and completely dependent upon daily prayer and faith and trust in God. We often run into that sort of faith and that kind of daily specific prayer among the people whose homes we worked on, the 9 homes we worked on last week in Salkehatchie. They matter-of-factly, many of them said that we were the answer to their prayers. They very matter-of-factly believed that we had been sent there by God as an answer to years and years and years of prayer. We, most of us, don't need to pray for that kind of help. We save, we borrow, we purchase, and we buy the repairs, and we call that repairman back if things aren't perfect. But in Salkehatchie, those folks, they tend to be grateful even if we do far less than perfect. Now, I don't wish that kind of life upon us, but I do wonder if having a world with less money and less affluence might promote more faith, more dependence upon God and each other. Sometimes money and stuff builds walls, and it's sometimes walls that we want. Separation that we work for and enjoy. So we can't see certain neighborhoods, so we feel safe and distinct from certain others. We don't verbalize it, but I think it is true. Jesus sent out his first disciples with no badges of affluence, no extra stuff, but in their hearts we hear their joy and we see their overflowing faith and trust. And when you think about it, we, even this church, are the result of their efforts and their preaching and their evangelism, completely unencumbered by money or stuff or even a change of clothes. It makes me reevaluate what freedom means and what faith means and what trust in God means. I believe, as the founders did, that it is God who gives the rights of life and liberty and the pursuit of happiness. The rights come from God. And then faith becomes an option when people are free to choose faith and turn to God. And that's all repent ever meant, return to God. But this pursuit of happiness is a deeper thing than just money and stuff and bigger barns. As Christians, we know that. The happiness and freedom deep down in our souls is about freedom from the constantly changing fashions and status and such in the world. Jesus stripped all the trappings of fashion and status and wealth from his disciples before he sent them out. They were stripped of all but the word, their faith and trust in God. And somehow, even without pensions or savings or visible means of support, somehow they felt free. And even though they left families behind and careers behind, they felt free and even happy and positive and joyful. Joyful and positive enough to draw a crowd and to convince a few and to form some churches and spread the same word down through the generations until it got here to Greenwood and built this place. Freedom in Christ. Freedom from the love of things. A Savior who says that a man and a woman's life does not consist of the abundance of wealth, when all around us people say the precise opposite. Yes, we are free people in the United States. What to do with the freedom is the question. The Apostle Paul said, do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. Use your freedom to serve. Use your freedom to share with others where you get that sense of joy and inner peace from God in Christ. The first disciples used their freedom to serve and to evangelize, and they found happiness and fulfillment even with no possessions. I have read about a few people who say in some interviews and news stories that after having lost their jobs, their careers, they said, thank God, I didn't have the courage to quit, but now I'm free to find something else. Now, I am not making light of the loss of jobs, and that's hit our congregation too. I'm just observing that in moments where we lose the illusion that we are in control, we are thrown into an open future and into a mode of faith where we take seriously that God is in control. When our foundations in an earthly sense crumble, then we have nowhere to turn except to God. I do, and I encourage us all to pray for the unemployed and to pray for the economy, and I pray for continuing freedom in spite of crisis after crisis. I pray that somehow, some way, faith and trust and God grow in the midst of the crisis. And true freedom to serve God grows in the midst of things uncertain, as we await to find that money and stuff and status cannot be trusted to build true happiness upon. We are being thrown into the arms of God. And no matter how that happens, it is a good thing when we find ourselves in the arms of God. Use your freedom wisely. Even use uncertain times wisely to come closer to God. Amen.